Well, there was a time in my life where I gave guitar lessons. And the first lesson of guitar that I gave was not scales or chords. It was actually telling the parts or the attributes of the guitar. For instance, the first lesson was I would tell the students, hey, this is the bridge, all right? And this is the fretboard, and these are the frets, and this is the headstock, and these little turny things here. These are the tuners, all right? And the students, the reason why I told them the attributes of the guitar in the first lesson is because they needed to be comfortable and familiar with the attributes of the guitar so they could experience the guitar at its fullest. And I share that because the same is true for those wanting to experience God genuinely. We need to know the true and absolute attributes of God so we can truly experience Him genuinely and experience Him in the way that He wants us to. And if we have an incorrect view of God, why this is important, we might interpret what He's doing or how He's working improperly, or we may be confused. If we have an improper view of God, we may not be understanding what He's doing in our lives. But if we have a correct view of God and the attributes of God, we can understand how He operates, we can understand His relationships with humanity and what He wants from us, and we can distinguish what God is doing and what He's not doing. For example, early in my journey with God, when I became a follower of Jesus, I felt for a long time that when I would pray to God, my prayers would just hit like the bottom of the basement floor of heaven. Like God wasn't hearing. Like, God, you're not taking time to hear me. There's more important things and more important people that you're listening to than my prayers. Well, I had to learn later that God does hear my prayers. Like anytime I speak to God, He hears it, and He hears your prayers as He's hearing my prayers. And I had to learn that because there's an attribute called the omniscience of God, which is God's ability to know and understand all things at all time, in real time, forever. And so because I didn't have a proper view of God's attributes, I was misinterpreting what was happening with my prayers. And I quickly learned that God was listening, and He is listening to you at the same time. Our God is amazing, that He can hear and know all things at all times without limitations. What an amazing God, right? And listen, this applies to the atheist, the skeptic, to the deist too. For the God you don't believe in, or that you have trouble believing in, or have a certain view in, is probably not the God of the Bible, and the God whose attributes that we're about to study. So it's important, even if you don't believe in God or have a maybe faulty view of God, it's probably because we don't believe in the same God either, or you don't have a proper view of the God of the Scriptures. For example, some people have not believed in God because they have this misconception that if you pray to God and ask Him for something, that He's going to give it to you. That's the genie God, all right? Both small g's, genie God. And for example, some of you maybe have prayed desperately for something. Maybe, God, I really want to ace this test, right? I prayed to pass, get a good score on the ACT, and it still didn't happen, all right? Maybe you prayed something like that, and God didn't answer that. And that led you to be disappointed in God. Well, you're going to be disappointed if you have a view that God is a genie God, not the God of the Bible. And God is not a genie God. He's so much better than that. But listen to A.W. Tozer and how he explains this problematic view of God in modern Christianity. He says, this little cheap God we've made up is one you can pal around with, the man upstairs, the fellow who helps you win baseball games. That God isn't the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He isn't the God who laid the foundations of the heaven and the earth. He's some other God. Let that sink in. You can make a God out of silver or wood or stone, or you can make it out of your own imagination. And that God's being worshiped in many places is simply a God of imagination. He's not the true God. He's not the infinite, perfect, all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving, infinitely, boundless, perfect God. He's something short of that. Christianity is decaying and going down in the gutter because the God of modern Christianity is not the God of the Bible. We have got to think of God as being the perfect one. I think it's a beautiful and articulate way of explaining this problem of we need to have the God of the Bible in our mind. And the God of the Bible, the one that we follow and love, is worth knowing. And once we understand who he is, we can properly follow him and have confidence in our faith of knowing him well. We can move away from unbelief and skepticism towards belief and confidence. And that's what we're going to spend the next 4 weeks about, all right? Typically, we preach through a book of the Bible, but during the summer months, we take a series. And this series is called Who is God? And we want a proper view of God and a proper view of him so we can have a good relationship with him. And listen to this, though. I want this series to be more than just an interesting, knowledge-based kind of thing, right? We can learn about God and just kind of build up a library of thoughts and facts about him. But what I want us is to not only have head knowledge, but I want to expand our heart knowledge, right? I want our heads to expand, but more importantly, I want our heart to expand with affections for God. And the entire purpose of this series is this, to fill your mind, our minds, with God's knowledge and, maybe more importantly, ignite your heart with love for him. That's the purpose. Head knowledge and heart knowledge. Let me say it another way. You know, sometimes when we learn something interesting, we go, that's interesting. I want to turn our into wow, all right? So when we learn something about God, look at that. That's a wow face, all right? I want us to have wow faces because when we have wow faces or we're in awe of God, we're inspired to take action. Our love for him becomes contagious, and we live differently. So let's change this whole mindset of this series going, to wow. All right, can we do that? And I'm excited about that. And here's the breakdown of our series. Week one, we're going to talk about the infinitude and immensity of God. Next week, the justice, mercy, and love of God. Week three, the omnipresence and immanence of God. And week four, the holiness and perfection of God. Okay, that's just scratching the surface. God has a lot of characteristics, all right? His stat sheet is amazing, all right? But it's also important to note, as we go through this Who is God series, that there's two classifications of attributes of God, all right? The first one is the incommunicable attributes. And this is God's divine attributes that cannot be communicated or shared with others or with humans by humanity. They're unique to God's nature and character. For example, God only has these attributes, all right? That's what that means. He alone possesses them. No human, for example, can be all-knowing. Only God can be all-knowing to everything, all right? However, there are attributes that God has that can be shared by humans and related with humans. And communicable attributes are those. And this is God and God's intrinsic character, particularly in his activity towards creatures. In other words, these attributes like love, holiness, graciousness, compassion, are the attributes that he shows towards humans and also the attributes that we can share and possess as well. If God is gracious, we can be gracious. If he's loving, we can be loving. As we experience those things, we experience them from him, and we also show them back to him and to others. Does that make sense? And today, we're going to be talking about two incommunicable attributes for today's lesson. And today, we're talking about the infinitude of God and the immensity of God. All right, that's where we're going. Let's jump right in. Here's the definition of this attribute. The infinitude of God is God himself and his nature are not bound by any limitation. No limitation can be applied to his being or attributes. And we can conclude this definition based off what God says about himself in Scripture and to reason. And here's what he says about himself in Scripture. Psalm 147:5 says this, "Our Lord is great. Vast in power. His understanding, say it with me, is infinite." Next scripture. "Do you not know?" This is a human writing rhetorically about God. "Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary." Let's say it together. "There is no limit to his understanding." And last scripture. "Can you fathom the depths of God or discover the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea." That is our God. That is his infinite nature. And there's three things I want us to see from this, three aspects of God's infinite nature that help us kind of wrap our minds around this big concept. And the first one is, it shows us God's essence is complete and perfect. What this means is that God's nature is perfect. He doesn't need anything. His base level is what he needs. He's whole. He's never been without. He's never going to be needing to have anything. His current nature and status is enough. God is enough. He alone is perfect. The second one, it shows us God is eternal, all right? This means God is not bound by time. You and I have birthdays. God doesn't have a birthday. He never had a start, and he doesn't have an ending. He's boundless by time. He's eternal. He is the beginning and the end. He has no creator. He has always been there. And lastly, it shows us God is forever enduring. I love this point. No thing, no person can rival God. We sang that earlier. You have no rival. You have no equal. He endures everything. There's no leader, no entity, no kingdom, no government, no nation that can stop God. Nothing can stop him. He is forever enduring. And what I love about this concept for us is people who worship God and follow Jesus, is that this aspect of God's infinitude brings great peace for us as his children. This magnificent reality brings great peace for us as his children. Listen to this. When others fret and worry about who's in office or leading governments or who their boss is or who's in charge or how am I going to withstand this, we do not fear because our God is in control. He's going to win in the end. And in him and with him, we have victory too because of that, if we're followers of God. He is forever enduring. And when others say God is dead, those dissenting voices, when they're dead, who is still alive? God. He endures it all. God's infinitude gives us bold confidence that he wins in the end, and with him we win too. The second is, we see it in scripture, but we can also reason that God is who he says he is in this infinite nature because, listen to this, if scripture also affirms it, but if God is not infinite, then he wouldn't be God. Like, we have a finite nature, right? And we have bounds and limitations and things that are beyond our control, right? And for God to be God, he's got to be opposite of finite beings. He's got to be infinite. So the only way that God can be God is he has to be infinite. If he's not, then he's not a God. If he has a creator, then he's not God. And so the reason leads us to be like, God has to be these things. He has these attributes because if he didn't, he wouldn't be God or worth our worship or worth our time are worth coming into this building and living life together and worshiping him. He has to have this quality to be the God. And I remember struggling with this reality of like, who created God? I asked my grandmother, that's who raised me from birth, who made God? What a great question. I remember asking this at 7 years old. And she responded, well, no one made God. He was just always there. And I pondered that as a seven-year-old because even at seven, something comes everything in life, something has to come from something, right? And I just couldn't wrap my mind around that at 7 years old. But guess what? At 37 years old, all right, if that's believable, and I am 37, I still can't wrap my mind around the infinitude of God, his infinite nature, that he goes on and on and on and on, that he had no beginning and he has no end. Like, eternity blows our mind out of the water. It's hard to grasp that. And I think for all of us, the application here as we kind of tidy up this point here is that we just need to sit in the reality that this is hard to grasp. And I think maybe this week you need to take some time, maybe go to Majestic View Park or your favorite park, go to Rocky Mountain National Park or Golden State Park and just sit and find something beautiful and ponder on the infinite nature of God. And try to wrap your mind around that. And here's the reality. You may like start to worship and say, that's amazing. But I can guarantee that you'll probably walk away with more questions than answers in that introspective, contemplative time. Why? Why? Because finite minds think and operate in the finite. We cannot comprehend the infinite nature of God. Like, we have a different operating system this side of heaven. And we will always kind of like have headaches trying to understand the infinite nature of God in finite minds. And we will never truly understand it until we see God face to face. But it's worth our time because it leads us to worship and wonder, and it leads us to just awe-inspiring thoughts and contemplation on our God. And this also leads us to our second attribute of God, is immensity. The fact that we can't wrap our minds around this also describes God's second nature of what we're talking about, attribute, is his immensity. And this attribute is related to the infinite nature of God because it deals with the absolute reality of something that we can't comprehend. When we're confronted with something that we can't comprehend, it shows the immensity of God that is beyond our grasp, beyond our being able to capture it, because God has no limits, no boundaries or constraints. So when we approach ideas like this, it shows us the immensity of it. We live in things with bounds and limitations and boundaries and guardrails. God does not have that. And that inability to grasp God's just infinite nature is his immensity. And the definition for it is this. It's just the idea that his nature is vast and beyond human comprehension and transcends all physical boundaries and limitations. Here's some scripture that backs it up. Isaiah 66:1, it says, "This is what the Lord says." This is what he says about himself. "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool." Imagine that, all right? Where could you possibly build a house for me? And where would my resting place be? Psalm 139:7, the psalmist says, "Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there, your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me." Then lastly, "I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's love." And we have actually one more. I love this verse. We don't. Never mind. I'm sorry. What each writer is doing in these verses is trying to capture, all right, the inability of God being fully captured. Listen to that. What each writer is doing is trying to capture the inability of God being captured. We can't grasp or fathom him. He's beyond our comprehension in a lot of ways, and he is beyond any measure or understanding. And we say God is great and awesome and amazing and cool and mighty and powerful. But listen, those are just English words of us trying to capture God's immensity. All right, our English language, our words, our sentences, the things that we describe about God are just a taste of what he's truly like. We can never fathom what he is truly like. And I love how A.W. Tozer, who's the author of the book that we got this series from, he says this in his book: "Imagine going out millions of light years into space and finding a body so vast that you could throw all our solar system into it. Like throwing a shovel full of coal into a furnace. It would simply swallow up our solar system and go on. After you've thought of all of that, remember that God contains all of that. Remember that God is outside of all things and inside all of things and around all of things. Remember that our God made it. That is the immensity of God." Isn't that powerful? And as I was prepping for this, I was reminded of a talk that I saw over a decade ago from Louis Giglio. And for our visual learners, I want to show you another depth of God's immensity in this video. It's about 3 minutes long, so just hang in.
Just a little journey through our solar system. Everyone knows our planets and sort of how we fit in to the story here. You see really quickly that we're not even the biggest deal in our own solar system, but as Earth comes by, you have to know tonight that we are living on a privileged planet. Anyone would tell you we're living at one of the most special places, if not the most special place in all of creation. But Neptune comes by and Saturn and then Jupiter, and you're like, okay, we're not all that big, even in our own little cul-de-sac. I just noticed the blue dot fading away is not the Earth. That's Neptune. The Earth has gotten too small to see anymore. Sirius comes by. Little plug for satellite radio. Not the biggest star, but the brightest star that we have found so far. Pollux, which we didn't mention, Arcturus. Such a beautifully named one, Regal. But then the one that messed me up. Third star, Musifi. Musifi's cousin, Wusifi. And Canis Majoris. And do you know that you couldn't come up here right now with a Sharpie and make a mark on the screen that would approximate the size of our sun? You couldn't even do it. I mean, when you look at these and their relative size, we just have to put a little arrow over there that says, if you could put the sun on here, which you can't, it would go somewhere about here. And can you hang on that for me? And when you see this, I don't know what happens to you, but I'll tell you what happens to me. A shrinking feeling comes over me, and it's not a bad shrinking feeling, it's a good shrinking feeling. Because sin, it has a way of shrinking God down in our minds and puffing us up in our own estimation. But just a glance into the universe that God has made resizes everything in a heartbeat. And you realize tonight we are worshiping an unrivaled, uncontested God of all kind of might and power and glory and awe, who is, there's none like him anywhere in all of creation tonight.
Isn't that amazing? That's our God. And I showed you that because at the end of that star kind of scale, I wanted you to see the largeness of that, that we can't even comprehend that, but that God supersedes all of that. His immense nature is larger than that. And I feel just like Louis, small, when I see that. And you might even could say that illustration makes us as humans insignificant. You feel insignificant? I do. Thinking about, we couldn't even find the sun when you scrolled back, let alone find the earth. But what's amazing about our God, church, listen to this, is that insignificance, right? That smallness, our God in his immensity said, I want to know the people that I created. And so he came down in our insignificant place in humanity and says, I want to show you that my immensity can be realized in a personal way. And he did that through sending Jesus in the form of a baby and with humility to show us the immensity of God can be experienced. And the brilliant nature of our God, and the reason why we worship, the reason why we gather, is God's immense nature can be recognized and related to and experienced daily. Because our God, as big as he is, wants to know that he's small enough for us to know him. Is that not amazing? And that leads us to those wow moments, right? That's not a That's a wow. The God of the universe that's bigger than the stars that we saw on this screen loves us and wants to communicate to us and speak to us and know us. The God of the universe, this immense being, is our friend. And think about it this way. When we are tempted to think his love is running out, I want you to think of his immense love, all right? It doesn't wear out. It's immense. It's encompassing. It's always going. It's always flowing. Think about the immense love. And think about when we don't think God has enough power or will or might to fix our hardest situation, I want you to think his immense nature is just getting started in our hardest situations. And when you've sinned for the 1,000th time and you're like, I keep doing the same thing over and over again, there's no way, God, you could forgive me. I want you to think about the immense forgiveness through the cross of Jesus Christ that took on every single sin that we committed, are committing, and will commit so you can experience the forgiveness of God. God's immense nature is beyond our comprehension and meets us exactly where we are when we need it. Because I stress this right now, and I want us to see this wow moment, because so many of us see and treat God and configure our relationship with him as if he were tiny and tame. And when I thought of those words this week as I was thinking of this, this image came to mind was this. Oftentimes we experience God like a pony ride, this tiny and tame creature. However, God is not tiny. He is not tame. God is immense and fierce, and so many of us are settling for this improper view of God where he's tiny and small and without power. But what I want you to see is to destroy that image of tiny and tame, all right? Seeing God in that way. And I want you to see him fierce and mighty and immense. And I want you to think of this picture, a roaring lion. That is our God that we get to experience and think about. And what I want you to see here is that immense God. It's crucial that we know that the God of the Bible, this immense God, because we need to know that the God of the Bible, this fierce God, is with us. That's our dad. That's who made us. That's who we have access to, who loves us, who we can call upon, who's working on our behalf. This, he's not tiny and tame. And if we have a proper view of God, we're also confronted that in our limitations, in our boundaries, in our constraints, God's limitless nature makes up for all that we lack. It has to be this way because we cannot do it without God. We cannot do it without him. And that leads us to trust him more and to lean on him and plead desperate prayers. God, you got to do the heavy lifting. God, if you made these stars, you could do this. That's why we plead, because he's got the power. And imagine the kind of lives we could live and have if we properly viewed God in this way. Imagine that. What if we collectively, church, did that? I imagine that we would have less fear and less anxiety. Imagine that we'd be full of courage and strength. Imagine the kind of courage and strength that we would have. And I imagine that courage and strength would lead us to take more risks, to lead by faith more. And I imagine we'd get outside more and look up at the sky and think upon him. Even at night, look at the stars. Imagine we'd sing more too and sing louder when we properly view God for who he is. And imagine we'd have more conversations about God at our dinner tables and at our lunch tables or wherever we're gathering as families. And I imagine, lastly, that we would be so unafraid to talk about God no matter where we were and what the consequences were. Think about that. No, not having consequences about talking about God because we know he's on our side and who he is. The fear of man just surrenders under the immensity of God. If we could qualify God's infinitude and immensity, it would be qualified as God's ability to be limitless, having no bounds, and our inability to comprehend or emulate those qualities. Okay? I'm going to wrap that up. So as we conclude, I want to remind us that the purpose of this is to be filled, one, with knowledge, but more importantly, that we should be ignited with awe and worship. Like, I hope you leave today going, wow, that's the hope. And so what thing from today inspires your relationship with God in a new way? What gives you newfound worship, newfound wonder, newfound awestruck glory in our God? What one thing leads you to that today? But I also want you to think about your limitations too. As awesome as all of you are, you can't do everything. You've got some things where you're like, you're hitting a wall. And I want you to think of a limitation today, maybe a circumstance or a thing that you're trying to accomplish or a thing that's way out of your control. And I want you to bring that thing, whatever it is, to our limitless God and step aside and let the fierce, roaring lion do his job. Because that's what he's in the business of doing what we can't. So what limitation are you just banging your head against the wall and God saying, hey, look, child, let me do this for you? I thought when I gave up guitar lessons, I gave up teaching parts of the guitar forever. But recently, I was noodling on the guitar, and my daughter, Posey, her favorite question right now is, what's that? And she pointed to the turny things, and she maybe started turning them too, and that makes for a really interesting songs when she starts turning them. And I said, baby, those are tuners. And it brought me so much joy that she asked about the guitar. And I share that because our God takes the same joy when we ask about him. and we inquire about his nature. So what do you need to come to him with this week? Where do you need to ask some questions and seek him and restore that awe and wonder again? I pray that you do. Find some time to get away, go to the park, imagine, maybe turn off your phone and just go outside and sit underneath the stars and reignite that passion for God. And let me remind you, he's never out of what you need. The immense nature of God is never out of what you and I need. Ask him for what you need, and he will deliver it just in the nick of time. Let's pray. God, you are beyond our comprehension, and we cannot fathom you. And I just pray that as a church, Jesus, we would just grow in wonder and awe of you. Like, that's what this is all about, is being in love with you, God. The whole Shema is to love you with all of our hearts and soul and strength, to be captured, to be just left speechless with how great you are. And I pray that the vision for our church is that we would just be in love with this God that we can't comprehend, that it would inspire us to have bold and courageous faith, to say, I don't know what's ahead, but I know is who's walking with me, and it's the infinite and immense God, this roaring lion who has power beyond my comprehension, and he is with me. And God, this church is a reality because of your immense power and the fact that we've relied upon you. And God, I just pray this over our church, collectively and individually of the people here, that we would be reckless in our faith because we have a crazy, radical dependency on you. God, may we just be inspired today as we finish with one more song. God, we love you and thank you for all that you're doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I'd love to meet you. I'll be in the back with John with the coffee mugs. But let's stand and worship our infinite and immense God.